Since it's being recorded.
This particular campaign is directed at low-income women who have children 6 years of age and younger, but that certainly is on our agenda because we know that has to be done as well. Yeah, you know, you can't do everything at once. You sort of have to take steps. Number one, not enough money to do everything. So that's how it is. But good question. Yeah.
Please.
Howard Pollack from the same institution as Kristen and Judith. Given the information that it was more acceptable for the community that you were dealing with to continue with bottle use through maybe 24 months, did you then adapt your and change your educational materials? And in what way did you do that? Was it, for instance, more acceptable for them to use water only in the bottles?
So yes, we did adapt the lessons in response to what people said. But what we did was, as part of the focus group, I asked things. We had a bunch of suggestions of ways that you could sort of do baby steps towards stopping the bottle without or trying to minimize problems for your teeth. So things like using water only, things like taking the bottle and then brushing your teeth and going to bed without the bottle. And people were very unreceptive to all of those different methods before 18 months. But so what we did was focus on a process approach where maybe you're not going to stop the bottle entirely on the first birthday, but if you can at least start taking steps starting at that time or even starting before to sort of work towards it, so then maybe by 18 months it's completely gone. You don't want to start then because it still might be a process. And so we encourage moms to keep trying at it, to keep introducing the idea, to try these different techniques. We did give them a list of those techniques and go over things like using water or brushing their teeth after, doing other things like cuddling with your child before going to bed instead of the bottle for comfort. But I think it's going to be a process, but we did try. Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether it was the Can-Do group or yourself who told me the story of an individual mother who had more than one child to deal with, including an infant, and was very difficult to manage both children. And there's a practice, as I understand it, of rolling up a blanket with the infant lying on the child on its back and propping a bottle so that the bottle won't roll away and they can continually feed on the bottle. Have you heard of that practice? And how, if you have, you know, how common is that practice and other kind of practices that are cultural and hand-me-down kind of practices?
Yeah, that didn't come up a lot in our work with this group. I think largely because of the age, because they had to have a child at least 1 year old to be a part of the group, and by then the child can manipulate the bottle just fine on their own.
Stay up there.
So I thought it was fantastic, a project that you have there. And you said that it was theory and evidence-based. But to some extent it wasn't, because you used as a guide for the behaviors the recommendations of the Academy of Pediatric Dentistry. And not all of their recommendations are very evidence-based. And one of the things that really struck me was the and especially relates to the issue of self-efficacy, is that there was a lot of attention to flossing and difficulties and concerns and things like that. And if you believe in the importance of self-efficacy, I think flossing is the last thing I'd want somebody to do. I wouldn't mind that they do it for their own health, but I certainly don't think it makes much difference to their child's health. Whereas, as we heard also in one of these presentations, use of fluoride really makes a huge difference. And I really kind of had the impression, I know you only could show us a few things, that maybe there was more attention to how to brush or how to floss then how important it is just to get fluoride on the brush twice a day, and how important it is to make sure there's a tube of fluoride in the house all the time, even if it costs money, and some of the things like that. So, can you comment on that?
Yes. So those are good points. We initially were not planning to include very much information about flossing at all because it's not associated with children's oral health so much. But we got a lot of feedback from parents that it was very important to them to learn how, because eventually it does become really important for oral health, and they have no idea how to help their children do it. And so we included it for that reason. It was important for the parents' own oral health and important for the children as they get older to get that support and education from their parents so that they can floss when the time comes. And we actually spent a lot of time on fluoride, both in terms of toothpaste and in terms of fluoride that you can get from the dentist or in mouthwash and things like that. We talk about how we go into depth about the how decay happens and how fluoride is kind of your first line of defense in strengthening the enamel and fighting against that acid. So in using that ant analogy, for instance, people really understand the protective role that fluoride has and how it can happen both in toothpaste and some of the other places that you can get it.
Thank you. My next question was for Brett. As I understood, anterior tooth loss was correlated with future caries. Any tooth loss was associated at the baseline caries. And so baseline is on a mean of 2.6 years old. Highly likely those children got tooth decay in the year preceding age 2.6.
Right.
Probably more unlikely their mother lost one of their teeth in the 1 year preceding that. So my takeaway from that is probably any tooth loss is associated with the risk of decay, because if the tooth was lost before, you couldn't observe it.
Right.
But
right.
The tooth was lost before that child, was one.
Yeah.
Then they got tooth decay between ages 1 and 2.6.
Yeah.
So I think this may even be a better predictor of caries than you could conclude just from the data that you have.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
That is a great point. I think, in terms of the study, we can't, go back and measure when the tooth was lost or when they developed the caries, but I think from the data it does show, like you said, it is, predictive of both current caries and future caries.
Which makes it even simpler, because
it's
any tooth loss,
exactly.
Rather than saying, well, it's an anterior, so maybe is predictive.
Right, right. It's simple. And
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, I just want to follow up a little bit on one of Bill's comments and the use of baby bottle, because, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. Well, first, I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of you have children? Raise your hand.
What age?
Doesn't make any difference what age. How many of you have children? Okay. And how many of you, of these children, keep your hands up, how many of them were bottle fed? Hands up. And how many of you took the kid off the bottle at exactly 12 months? My point is, but I'll bet your kids don't have many dental caries, any of you. But I don't think we really have the evidence for taking the bottle away then, and I do agree with those moms. That the children will get rid of them, but if they have fluoride on, as Dr. Moss has mentioned, and they are brushed twice a day, any way possible with fluoride, I know kids that pack bottles around until they're 2 or 3 years old, or breastfeed till they're 4 or 5 years old, no decay because they've had either fluoridated water or dietary fluoride supplements. So I still think, of course I'm very biased, but pushing the fluoride is going to do more good than pulling away the bottle. That's just a comment.
I have a question for Alice based on Christine's comment. You comment very truthfully that moms refer that the kids went through sedation and they didn't know what happened. I'm pretty much the unofficial translator at a school, and I have to deal with the Hispanic moms, the Latino Spanish-speaking moms. When we get this consent form, it's so absurd, so complicated. So my question for Alice is, from the oral health literacy perspective, we need to give people good information that they can use to make decisions. What are we going to do with the legal part of the consent forms?
Oh, you should have been there this morning.
Yeah. I will tell what happened. We missed the train.
I think there's a lot of work going on with consent forms and putting them in plain language, and clearly we are responsible for doing that. There's a whole center for plain language located in the D.C. area, and CDC has a great website about plain language. And all of us, I think, have to work on that. If you really think about it, and some of you heard this before, but legalese is like dentalese, not the equipment company, but, you know, we talk about perio, we talk about root canals and all, although that's easier to understand than other things, but radiology rather than x-rays kinds of things. And it's a way of holding information, and we are the holder of that information, and we're not going to share it with you because it keeps us a little bit higher up on the totem pole. Lawyers do the same thing. And I have talked with enough lawyers now on this whole plain language thing, is that, yes, it is. There is a way to write things that it's okay, and we can make it understandable. The other thing is, I think we have to keep in mind, most consent forms aren't there to protect the patient. They're there to protect the office or the facility or whatever it is. So sometimes the hospitals want that kind of legal ease in there. But to say that it really is necessary, I don't know. In fact, it reminds me, I think that would be a great session for next year here, something on that very kind of thing, and have attorneys address these issues along with plain language folks. But it can be done. Actually, we have helped a couple of dental schools convert their regular consent forms into those that are more easily understood. Yeah. Good question.
Can I just follow up with a comment?
Sure.
I'm still a practicing dentist, and I think that the most important part of consent is the oral communication rather than the written communication and the signature. As I understand it, a lot of judges do not necessarily accept a blanket written consent form as being valid if the conversation didn't take place. So they may indicate that that the so-called legal document may not protect the individual that is hiding behind it.
A question for Alice about the promotion of the use of tap water rather than bottled water. To what extent is the oral health community working with others in public health to promote use of tap water, not just because it's got fluoride in it, but because it's a huge environmental issue of not having tens of thousands of bottles to dispose of. It's an economic issue. Because of the difference in cost. So who are the partners in this initiative?
Mm-hmm. We are working on that, and there are a number of groups, as you know, that, for example, some who give away containers, and it's called Take Back the Tap, and the reason for that is to stop the use of bottled water because of the very issue you're bringing up. Matt Jacobs, on the the Pew team that's really doing a lot of work in this, I've talked with him extensively, and he believes strongly that what we need to do is to, in fact, work with those manufacturers, to get key down, plus work with water people in order to, and we've got to collaborate. We've got to collaborate with other people, not just us, but it's got to be the water operators. We've sort of got to be singing the same song. We're going to hire Howard to sing the song. And he's not paying any attention, but we'll get him on it. It's, what is it, the fluoridation song. Yeah. But There's no question it's a major thing, and I don't think we can do it alone. We have to get everybody involved and educate as many people as possible about it. But I still believe that if there are going to be some we're never going to convert, they're going to stick with that bottled water. But if they are, then I hope they're drinking fluoridated bottled water. And there's more and more of that on the shelves.
You have to come up front. Anybody who wants to come up front.
My question is for Kristen. This is actually coming more from a social work perspective, but I know in terms of health education that sometimes when we're working with populations, a 4-series class is very difficult to engage because they have a lot of other life obligations. And I don't necessarily think that's just one population, I think that's all of us. But so what was your success in keeping this particular group of women engaged with you over a series of four classes? And what do you think was the motivating factor in keeping them engaged with you?
So the project is still ongoing. We're only in the middle of it right now. But based on the people that we've worked with so far, we've actually had pretty good success at keeping them to come to all 4 classes of the people that we've, of the 58 people that have been there, we've only had 2 that haven't made it to all of them. It's difficult to know how much of it is due to the fact that it's a research project because they are getting incentives for filling out surveys at the beginning and the end. Their incentive for coming to the classes is just $5 each they get at the end, so that definitely could be playing some sort of role. But also, I think a lot of the interest is the personal relationship with the promotora and the classmates. It's the same people that are in all 4 classes and the same promotora all 4 weeks. The promotora calls them every week, and that was one to remind them to come to class. And that was one of the things, the project that we did in terms of the tardiness problem, is that sometimes that maybe that first week or that second week there's some parents that come in late, and we just discuss it as a group. Do we want to start class 15 minutes late next week and just have everybody come at 10:15 instead of 10 a.m.? And some groups have elected to do that, and some have elected to try harder to remind their neighbors or whatever to try and get there earlier so that they don't have to go over the time. And I think also the topic is helpful. Once they get to the class and see that it's kind of fun to do the activities, they're more motivated to come again because it's an enjoyable 2 hours. Their kids are taken care of in another room, and the information's interesting and empowering.
One's a small comment and one's a high comment. The smaller comment, and both of them are systems related. One is focused on the home visiting programs and consideration. I think the thematic presentations here, sort of what happens in the house, what does the house look like, what can we do to reinforce it and use those home visiting nurses and build in some of these concepts so they're reinforced. The other is the macro focus on water, and this association's focus on water a couple of years ago, which was the theme. Living in the District of Columbia, we've had to change our pipes. We've had to not use our water for days on end. We've had articles that have come out that have given misinformation to the residents. And those of us that have the background are also concerned about this on-off, on-off behavior. And once you have that kind of interaction, people tend to say, well, I'm just not going to pay attention to the tap. I'm going to focus more on something that's steady and stable and secure. And so this is a plea for more work and jobs and reinforcing our infrastructure, because I think what we're seeing is a breakdown in the overall infrastructure, and we have to get at the municipality level as well, because those water systems, our private systems that cities are contracting with, not just public service systems. And so it's just a little bit of stretching either way. And so I wanted to thank the panel members for stimulating those thoughts while I'm eating my sandwich.
Anybody else have any questions?
Good, thank you. I think that was a lot of good feedback from everybody, and we thank all of you for coming to the presentation. Thanks.